when a group of rebellious colonists threw British tea overboard into the sea because of unjust taxation, how could they have ever realized this response of absolute conviction would give birth to a country that would change the world forever? Let's keep in perspective what our mission is. Overall, we're trying to, in this first overall idea, leverage our desire. Now, we're going to look at leveraging desire, as we've discussed, in four pieces. One is the skill of focus, which is the skills of mastering concentration. Two is the skill of purpose, those things that increase motivation in your life. Three is the skill of action. It's not enough to think about it. You have to do it and execute those intentions that you have. So fourthly is the skill of response. Those things that you both think about and do by habit, by reflex habit, to handle the resistance you get. Well, first of all, do we have resistance in life? Well, that's not a hard answer to complete. From the time we wake up in the morning until the time we go to bed, we have resistance in all walks of life. Just getting up in the morning and fighting traffic, getting to the office, many times working with coworkers, your boss, certainly the marketplace, you may have resistance at home. Other people are trying to get ahead and climb the ladder faster than you. Naturally, there's just a lot of resistance in life that a person, as a sales mind, has to develop response skills. So, first of all, the dictionary defines response as a reaction to a specific stimulus or an answer. Well, there's actually two pieces in that definition. First of all is stimulus, or many stimulus together are stimuli. All those things that we face moment to moment, day to day, that require or evoke responses from us. And then secondly is, of course, our focus is how do you answer those stimulus from a difficult circumstance in your life all the way to the specific sales language you use when you handle those tough objections that the customer gives you. Let's keep in perspective our overall challenge. We're trying to leverage our desire to get things done. So we've broken down desire into four key pieces. The first, as we've examined, is the skill of focus or mastering concentration. Secondly is the skill of purpose, which is doing those things to increase our motivation. Number three is the skill of action. It's not enough to think about it. You have to do it and execute those intentions that you have. So now we're going to examine the fourth key piece of desire power, which is the skill of response. Handling those resistances both in life and business that are critical to being a sales mind. So let's examine response. We're going to do it from five different dimensions. The first is the most general, is the overall response to those constant resistances and pressures in life at large to succeed. Secondly is a more specific examination of the specific responses to personal adversity, not just general response, but when you're faced with adversity, even traumatic circumstances that from time to time we all have in our lives. The third dimension is, of course, specific responses to sales and business-related obstacles. And then our fourth dimension is going to be several mindset ideas for those constant obstacles that we face. And then finally is, specifically to being a sales mind, is how to respond by being a financial seller. Let's face it, business is money, and as a sales mind, if you can't respond with financial strategies and language, you're just not going to be effective. So let's go back, number one, and look at those overall responses to the consistent resistances in life to succeed. A sales mind, first of all, accepts the constant reality of delays and frustrations and disappointments and deferrals in the sales business. I mean, they're in the very air we breathe in sales. And here is the key, is the truth. It's not what the influence is or even what happens to you in life and sales and business, but rather how you respond to challenges and to circumstances that makes the difference in an outcome, both in sales and life. So handling resistance in sales, I look at it this way, is frankly the basis of your value, and it's the real reason you're paid to represent a company. Why? Because if there was no rejection or if there was no resistance in getting a sale finalized, then an employer could just hire a minimum wage worker and just have them work a telephone, and all the customers would say is, yes, we'll buy from you and we'll pay full retail. Now, you and I know in real life it doesn't work that way. So we have to develop response skills, and I call these your response abilities, your responsibilities. So look at it this way. On the left side, you have all those resistances that you face on a daily basis. Now, on the right side, what a sales mind does for these overall resistances is develop mindsets that allow them to respond. The first mindset is the mindset of passion. If you don't have passion, and we've discussed earlier, purpose for what you do, resistance will overwhelm you. Secondly, is a mindset of vision. A sales mind has vision. They look at the big picture. They look at where they're trying to go. They look at where an achievement is going to take them. They look at how to develop an account in the long term. They look at a relationship. They have vision, not just what's happening in the moment where the stress is, but they look at the big picture. They also have the mindset of, as we've discussed this earlier, of a desire to serve. If you don't have a desire to really serve the needs of people, then the resistances that you face from them and from your circumstances will simply overwhelm you. A sales mind also has the mindset of communicating value. If you're going to be rejected, people are going to object at your offerings. They're going to object to your advances. They're going certainly to object of giving up their own money. So if you're not thinking about and articulating how to communicate specific value, and we'll talk about this in much more detail later, you're going to be in trouble. And finally, if you don't look at your resistances on the left side of your mindset by attacking them with goals and purpose and focal skills and those values that we talked about, then the resistances in life will simply on the left side be greater in weight than the right side of together now your passion, your vision, your desire to serve, your communicating value, and the goals and the purposes that you bring to the table. The second dimension of these critical response skills are the specific responses to personal adversity. Now, all of us wish that we could go through life and not have any adversity or any intense bad things that happen to us or any traumas, but the reality of living life on this planet says that you're going to have those. My goal here is to make a distinction between responding to adversity here in the second dimension and the first previous dimension of just those overall gnawing constant resistances that we face. So let's look at the second dimension, which is responding to adversity. What adversities will many of us be faced with in life? Those sometimes traumatic events that happen to us, the death of a loved one, rejection in a relationship, financial hardship. Sometime down the road in your life, you'll probably have some type of a financial struggle or hardship, or even a severe disappointment that we face. That big customer that we were trying to reel in, that we just had to have to make our sales numbers, and at the last moment, the organization went with somebody else and we're devastated. So a person in life, in addition to just the constant resistances, has to have that platform to respond to adversity. Now, the way I view this mindset is life and business are going to go on with or without you, whether you choose to respond to the adversities that you face now and down the road or not. So response to adversity develops intense resilience in a person and a perspective that shifts these traumas out of the past or the ones we may be facing to the present and puts our current strengths on the table and allows us to handle them effectively. The third dimension of response skill is those specific responses to sales and business-related obstacles. So first of all, we had the general responses in life. Secondly is our discussion of response to specific personal adversity that we may face. And thirdly here are those response skills to sales and business. So the sales mind views it this way with a question. What is it in sales am I responding to in a specific circumstance? And I've broken it down into six areas to define that you'll be responding to. Number one in a sales situation is simply no need. So when a customer, after you've done the qualifying and determined that they simply don't have a need, how were you going to respond? Now, obviously, the question is going to be twofold. One is it worth responding to at all and just cutting your losses and move on? Or do you simply need to thank them for their time and respond down the road? So secondly, we're going to devote an entire module later in this program of how to respond with urgency. Number three is responding to no money. If you do an effective job with questioning and qualifying and determine there's no money, then your response is quite simple. You simply have to move on to another prospect or customer. Four is responding where you sense there's not trust developed between you and the prospect or client. Five is responding to not enough perceived value for the money. We're going to devote an entire module later in this program to the issue of value that will give you a lot of details for that issue. And then number six is responding to better perceived value for the money from a competitor in your prospect's mind. So there's responding to no need, no urgency, no money, no trust, not enough perceived value for the money. And six and finally is your customer or prospect believes there's better perceived value from someone else. So for these resistances, a sales mind develops exact conditioned verbal and sometimes physical responses until they're simply natural appearing reflexes to the customer. You know, there's no shortcuts here. You know, if you don't have response language and strategies and terminology, then you just don't have a chance to ever reach your full potential as a sales mind. Element number four of response. I've noticed over the years as I've observed and even interviewed sales minds that really effective sales minds operate with three fundamental response principles. And these response principles are number one, acceptance, number two, a sense of perspective, and number three, placing in their mind a given amount of constant frustration in their mindset, reserving a compartment in their sales mind for constant frustration, because anyone that's endeavoring to achieve anything has to deal with frustration. All right, so number one is acceptance. Well, what does that mean? It simply means there's going to be various things in the sales business that don't go your way that you're going to have to accept. Things like it takes work to succeed in sales. It takes planning. It takes strategy. It takes structuring your business. It takes accepting that sales is a business of risk. You can't always project what's going to happen. So the acceptance of frustrations and just the bottom line things that challenge you is one of the principles of response skill. Now, secondly is a sense of perspective. The response skill of perspective. You know, how big is any single issue or resistance that you face in relative terms? Probably if you examine it and ask yourself, you know, is this resistance that I'm facing today going to matter by the end of the day? Is it going to matter by the end of the week? And certainly is it going to affect my future or my sales career? Or certainly is it going to affect my attitude? So in addition to a founding principle of acceptance, a sales mind truly keeps things in perspective. Now, number three is this belief that on a daily basis, a sales mind has to reserve a piece of their mindset for frustration. You know, frustration simply means, you know, you'd like something to turn out one way, it turns out the other, so how are you going to respond? So, three founding principles of a sales mind: acceptance, number two, perspective, and number three, just believing that frustration is going to be a small partner in your dealings on a day-to-day basis. What am I saying overall? By having acceptance, putting things in perspective and placing a little bit of constant frustration in your mindset, you're going to be more effective, more articulate, and better able to respond on a momentary, daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. So we've talked about viewing response skills, reacting to pressures and circumstances and people and difficulties from four dimensions so far. The first dimension is just the overall response to those constant resistances in life to succeed. And then secondly is responding to adversity when you're faced with it. Three is those specific six areas of sales and business-related obstacles. And then our fourth dimension were three what I call response principles. Now finally, and this is a very important dimension, is respond by being a financial seller. Ultimately, business is about transactional value. You have a product, you have a service, and what you're offering is those things in return for a customer's money. So be a financial seller in response terms. What does that mean? Well, let's say, for instance, your product or service is $5,000, and a customer feels they can get it from somebody else for $4,500, so then the difference is $500. A sales mind is very keen, very reflexive in realizing that the real question here that they ask the customer is, all right, Mr. Customer, that's fair. So the question is, why would you invest that additional $500 in our program, right? And then, you know, when you get some kind of an agreement, well, yeah, that is the question. The sales mind knows their program. They know what, for instance, what problems a customer might be having with their current supplier, and they're fully prepared to respond by saying, all right, let's examine the difference in the $500 that we're asking for our program. It may be that you're curing some pains or some problems that that customer has. So $500 a pain cure in your program is the angle that you take. Secondly is the $500 may simply be based on the fact that the customer prospect that you're dealing with is simply not getting things in your program that have value now. So one is pain cure, you're answering a problem, condition, you're taking away something that's been a problem for the customer. Or secondly is you're giving them $500 of additional value in your program. So a sales mind is always prepared to be a financial seller. They know how, in other words, to take every angle of their program, whether it's curing a problem or it's offering additional added value, and put that and articulate that in financial terms.